This is Canadian Taxpayers Federation podcast. We fight for lower taxes, less waste, and accountable government. As you can probably notice, Franco and Chris are on vacation this week, so we're taking over the podcast to talk about the important news for taxpayers. I'm Gage Hobrick, holding down the fort, fighting for taxpayers in Saskatchewan, and I'm joined by my two wonderful colleagues. First, Carson Binda's out in Vancouver, fighting for BC taxpayers, and we've got a new addition to the podcast. We've got Liam coming to us from downtown Calgary, and Liam's in charge of Generation Screwed, our campus program. We'll hear more about that later. But to get into it, the most important thing that happened this week is that taxpayers got a win. And if you didn't see it, it might not have hit you yet, because the Ministry of Finance posted on Twitter late on Sunday night that the government is going to be scrapping its proposed digital services tax. So what that was is the government was going to charge a fee on all the revenue that really big companies like Amazon and Google and Facebook earned in Canada. So that didn't seem too bad, right? It's going to be big companies that are going to be paying this tax. But the thing why it's great that it's gone is, first, is that the CTF was pushing for it, doing releases, writing articles, talking about how this tax was a bad tax from the beginning and was going to make life more expensive. It was going to make life more expensive for a couple of key reasons, right? There's some analysis from other countries that had a digital services tax, and up to 50% of the tax, over 50% of the tax, was passed on to consumers, and that makes life more expensive. So it's great to see that this tax is going to be gone, and it's not going to be costing Canadians money as it was supposed to do on July 1st.
Yeah, and look, this is a major win for taxpayers, you guys. Look, when this tax was brought in, the parliamentary budget officer, the big brain in Ottawa, did a really deep dive into this. He said it could cost Canadians more than $7 billion over the next 5 years. That's money coming out of your pocket when you go to pay for your Netflix subscription or your Amazon Prime delivery. That's money that comes from Canadians to Ottawa. It's not the bigwigs at Netflix or Amazon who would be left with the bill for this. It's normal Canadians. And Gage, I think that's a huge reason why this is a win. Regardless of why Carney was forced to axe this tax, it is a huge win for the taxpayers who are going to be left paying the tab.
I think that's a great point, Carson, because I want to push back on some commentators that I've seen on Twitter and social media recently who are like, oh, this is about how Carney's caving to Trump in trade deals. That doesn't matter for this at all. I'm going to be a little bit blunt about that, because what's actually happening in terms of what it means for taxpayers is they're not going to have to pay more money for these services. Because this digital services tax, when the government first announced it in 2020, was a bad idea then, because it's going to make life more expensive. And it was a bad idea when they got rid of it on Sunday, because it makes more life expensive. It's a bad tax. So as you said, it doesn't matter at all while the government got rid of it. What matters is that it's gone and the CTF was pushing for it. And it means that taxpayers aren't going to be paying that tax. That's the key point that people need to remember. They're getting bogged down in the weeds with trade negotiations and stuff like that. But for taxpayers, the main point, as we said a bunch of times, is that they're not going to be hit with this tax hike.
Because this tax, Gage, was going to make life more expensive for folks, right? We all have a Netflix subscription. We all use streaming services. It's 2025. That's how people our age consume media. And when things are already stretched so thin, when we know cost of living is a pressing issue all the way from coast to coast, not just where I'm sitting here in Vancouver, new taxes like this Netflix tax, because that's what it was, this digital service tax, was a bad idea from day one. So regardless of why Mark Carney finally had to cave to taxpayers, this is a good day for the Canadians who are going to be left with the bill.
No, and that's exactly right. So to summarize the full thing, getting rid of the DST, no matter what reason Carney and the government decided to do it, is a big win for taxpayers. It's something that CTF was pushing for because, as you said, it is just a tax going to make life more expensive. We're glad that it's gone. So that's the good news that we have to share with folks today. Now we got to push back on some other stuff that's looking to shape up to be a taxpayer boondoggle. So Carson, you recently released some polling results in Ontario and BC about the upcoming FIFA World Cup. Now, I don't know much about what's going on with that because I'm in Saskatchewan, and it seems that FIFA didn't really talk about us when they decided where they're going to host these games for the next World Cup. But it looks like it's going to be expensive, and I heard you have more on that.
Yeah, absolutely, Gage. Thanks for the intro there. So, for the folks at home who are listening who might not have heard about this story before, in 2026, about 12 months from right now, Vancouver and Toronto are two cities that are hosting a handful of soccer games for the FIFA World Cup. Now, in total, there's going to be 104 games across this tournament. Vancouver, we're hosting seven, Toronto's hosting six. So, a small, just a tiny fraction of the tournament overall. But those seven games in Vancouver and six games in Toronto are coming with an absolutely astronomical price tags that normal Canadians from coast to coast are going to be left with long after the FIFA bigwigs have jetted off back to Switzerland, where their headquarters is. So, to put this in context, folks here in Vancouver are going to be left on the hook for about $624 million to host those seven soccer games. And it's not
Seven.
just seven soccer games, 624 million. Now, Gage, I whipped out my calculator. I crunched the numbers there. That means we're going to be paying about $1 million per minute to watch these soccer games. But it's not just taxpayers in the city of Vancouver who are paying for this. The province of BC is kicking in hundreds of millions of dollars. The federal government is kicking in about $100 million. So that means you're paying for this, Gage, sitting in Saskatoon. Liam, you're paying for this, sitting there in Calgary. I know our friends in Alberta are used to paying for frivolous spending across the country, so this is no different. But yeah, taxpayers in Vancouver are being absolutely hammered. So we worked with our good friends at Léger, one of the country's most well-respected premier pollsters, and asked a very simple question. Do you think the price tag is worth it? Now, 50%, half of British Columbians said absolutely not. This is not worth it. That's compared to only about 40% that said it was. Now, for the folks at home listening, 10% difference might not sound like much, but in the world of public opinion research, in the world of opinion polling, a 10-point spread, man, that is monumental. Public momentum is against Vancouver hosting these seven soccer games. But it doesn't end there. We also asked the same question to folks in Ontario. Are these six soccer games in Toronto worth
So
the
one less,
cost?
one
One
less.
less in Toronto than here in Vancouver. And overwhelmingly, we got the same result. 50% said nope, not worth it, compared to 39% that said it is. So less people in Ontario think it's worth it than over here on the West Coast in BC. So overwhelmingly, British Columbians don't want to be left on the hook to pay for these soccer games. Folks in Ontario don't want to be left on the hook to pay for these soccer games. They cost hundreds of millions of dollars. We know from a whole lot of peer-reviewed academic research, big brains at universities crunching the numbers on these kinds of things, that hosting an entire FIFA World Cup doesn't provide a tangible long-term benefit when it comes to tourism, making money through hospitality, let alone hosting a tiny fraction of a World Cup. So, public sentiment is against this in both BC and Ontario. There's no business case to host these World Cup games. It is time that Premier Ford in Ontario and Premier Eby here in BC pull the plug. Taxpayers shouldn't be paying for these soccer games. If FIFA wants to come to Vancouver, if it wants to come to Toronto, then they should be paying for this. They shouldn't be leaving tapped out taxpayers with bills in the hundreds of millions of dollars. It is absolutely ridiculous, Gage.
Yeah, and Carson, I listen to you talk about that. In a word, it's nuts. But a couple things kind of come to mind. You mentioned that the federal government is going to be forking over a bunch of cash for these games. I wonder what the polling results would be in Alberta in Saskatchewan, if you ask them that question. I mean, first you have to explain to most Albertans and Saskatchewanians what the FIFA World Cup was, because it doesn't have a puck involved. So once we get past that hurdle, I think we would find out that they're not exactly excited that their income tax to the federal government is going to more things in Vancouver and Toronto. And I think that's a point that's pretty highlighted. But the second one is you're mentioning all the costs for 6 and 7 games. I know, we all know, everyone on this call, this podcast knows that the government is really, really good at wasting money. It's kind of why we exist. But this still seems crazy. What are they spending the money on in Vancouver and Ontario? It just doesn't make sense. $1 million a minute? What, is everything plated with gold?
Yeah, so in some cases, it seems like that's exactly the case gauge. Now, we don't have full recent cost breakdowns from the provincial government here in BC, but about a year ago, they gave us a sneak peek. It was things like building a private connector between the stadium and a nearby casino, in case the beautiful game gets boring and it's time for a blackjack break. We've all been there. At the time, they were planning on building a brand new VIP entrance to the stadium, so the FIFA bigwigs wouldn't even have to mingle with the dirty, unwashed taxpayers left with the bill. Now, the province says they've rolled back plans for this VIP entrance, thanks to pushback from our taxpayer army, so small wins. But by and large, it is big one-time operational expenses that are picking up so much of this budget. It's things like security, it's things like fan festivals, training facilities, temporary training facilities for visiting teams. FIFA requires that their games be played on real grass, but here in Vancouver at BC Place, we've got an artificial turf field. So they are bringing in a temporary grass pitch at eye-watering cost for the taxpayers just to play these 7 soccer games. At the end of the day, they're going to rip that real grass out and go back to artificial turf. So it's not like when Vancouver hosted the Olympics and we got the Sea to Sky Highway redone, we got the entire stadium redone. There were some lasting legacy items from that. There's still a lot of questions with the expenditure at the Olympics, but at least there was some of that long-term infrastructure. With this World Cup, we're getting those massive costs, but we're not getting those long-term benefits. By all accounts, Gage, these FIFA costs are a huge waste of money for the taxpayers being left to pick up the tab.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I guess those FIFA executives, they really need that walkway to the casino. I mean, I'm a fan of soccer. I know Carson is too, but most Canadians don't seem to be. So maybe they're anticipating that and they're thinking that people need to go take a break halfway through. But again, that shouldn't be paid for by taxpayers. So this one's shaping up to be a boondoggle. I'm sure you'll have more as we get closer to those games about how taxpayers can fight back and what they can do. But to kind of switch gears a little bit, I think boondoggles like this are a good example of what why Liam's seeing such big things on campus. So to bring Liam into this, he's our executive director of Generation Screwed. So what that means is he goes to universities all throughout the year and talks to students about how they can fight back against high taxes, high debt, and government waste. And those FIFA Cup games are kind of a great example of that. So Liam, to talk about it, we were talking about it earlier. You were saying you've never seen students more engaged than they are now. Can you talk about that a little bit and why you think it's so important to get young people involved and why they're so mad at the government right now?
Absolutely, Gage. For some of the most of you that don't know me, I run the Generation Screwed program. I'm Liam, and I'm making sure that your kids and grandkids know a whole lot about government debt, taxes, and the deficits that they run year after year. And I gotta say, right now, business is doing pretty well on the Generation Screwed front. We just did a big tour with around 30 university campuses earlier in the year, and students came up to us, they talked, they asked, what is this program? And after we give their spiel, they seem to agree with us quite a bit. A lot of the topics that they're talking to us, housing costs, lots of students, they know this, they feel this when they get out of university and they need to find a place to live. rent prices, price to own, are all going drastically up, much, much larger than a lot of them can seemingly afford. And we get into it quite a bit on just the cost of the debt, the cost to taxpayers on the debt that, you know, we didn't vote for it. We didn't really want it to go up, but the government seemingly chose for us to be saddled with this anyways. Just on the 2024-2025 fiscal year, $54 billion just on debt interest charges. That's around $1 billion a week, folks. And the PBO, the Parliamentary Budget Office, projects that the government deficit is going to be $46 billion. I know a lot of students on campus. I've talked to quite a bit of them. They can't even imagine $46 billion, let alone it just going in debt. And so,
yeah, I think those two things are super important when you talk about them, right? So $1 billion a week on debt interest charges. I think that's super important to highlight to students, right? Because they're getting their student loans out to go to university and get their degrees. But at least they're getting something for it. I don't think the average student sees exactly what the federal government is doing that's worth this $1 billion a week in interest. And that kind of comes to me and Carson. You know, we're not that far out of university. I mean, we may look a little bit older than we are. Who knows? We'll see what people say. But it seems like when I was on the university campus, no one cared about lower taxes, less waste, and accountable government. It was I was tabling for Generation Screwed back when I was a coordinator, and you know, we'd be stuck by the NDP table here in Saskatchewan, and people would be going there talking about how the government needs to do way more and charge way more in taxes. But it seems like that's kind of changed in the last bit as all of these costly government policies has made life more expensive. What are you seeing in that front?
I'll say this to you, Gage. When I was on university campus, actually right here in Calgary at the University of Calgary, I was talking to a student that came up to us and he said something that has stuck with me ever since he said it. He says, it feels like we're punished. Feels like we're being punished for choosing Canada, choosing to live and work and grow a life in Canada. And so after that, I did a little bit of digging into it. And according to the last census, which was in 2022, 126,340 young Canadians, well, Canadians in general, but a large percentage of them being young Canadians, left Canada for the United States. And we see this quite a bit, with their top reasons being a decline in quality of life, tax pressures, and the cost of living crisis. We're living in a country that is actively driving, you know, our future business owners, our future entrepreneurs, our future high potential earning young Canadians, and driving them to places that have a lot less friction in the economy, where it's easier to start up a business, where there's less government oversight in how you can operate, in what you can and can't do, you know. And we see this particularly with, you know, Canadians spend 45.3% of household income on just taxes. These taxes, you know, you could have a list as long as your arm of income taxes, health taxes, sales taxes, property taxes, tax. And that's not going to, you know, fuel up the family minivan or pay for your house. That's going just to the government. And as we see, many Canadians just don't see it as valuable enough. And so a lot of our young people, we see it on campus when we're talking to a bunch of students, they have plans that once they graduate, they're packing up their bags and they're going to try to head down south to a place the economy is a little better, a little more freedom for them in how they choose to spend their money, and a lot more opportunity to grow a life.
And I think that's the big overarching point overall, is that it should be setting off alarm bells for the government in Ottawa and governments across the country, that when people feel like they're being punished for staying in Canada, especially young people, something's going wrong, right? When we're talking about especially trade negotiations, stuff like that with the Americans, what the Canadian government should again be focused on, as we talked about a lot, is making it easier to live and do businesses in Canada. That means lowering taxes to make sure that people can keep more of what they earn, incentivize them, get them ready to want to go work and make money and raise a family, and getting rid of all those regulations, internal trade barriers, all that kind of stuff that makes it so much harder to grow a business and basically punishes you again for choosing to use your talents in Canada. And I think that's the overarching point that's really good. And it's why the work that you do, Liam, at Generation Screwed along with us, is so important. And I think I'll kind of roll that into my taxpayer pro tip to finish it off here. So I think, folks, that if you're listening to this podcast and you're not in a university, but you have kids, grandkids, people in your life that are students, make them check out Generation Screwed. It's a great time. You get to talk about lower taxes and less waste and accountable government with people that agree with you, as well as you get to do a lot of interesting stuff on the side and helps prepare you for a career in the future. So if you've got a young person in your life who's looking for more stuff to do, check out Generation Screwed. It's a great time. And I'll pass it off to Carson. What's your taxpayer pro tip for everyone out there today?
Absolutely. My taxpayer pro tip sounds easy, but some of our politicians are having a big problem with it. To Premier David Eby, to Premier Ford, stop wasting money when you're deep in the red. Both BC and Ontario dealing with massive multi-billion dollar deficits this year, next year, and last year. Both provinces, taxpayers are spending thousands of dollars, pardon me, billions of dollars a year just on interest payments to service the debt that those governments have irresponsibly racked up. Instead of spending hundreds of millions of dollars hosting a handful of soccer games, why don't you use that money to get our fiscal houses in order? Don't waste money when you're neck deep in the red.
It's crazy that politicians need the kind of advice to not borrow billions more and put taxpayers on the hook for it. But Liam, do you got yourself a taxpayer pro tip to either people watching, specific politicians, things you want to call out on the government? Give a little bit of tip to end off the podcast.
With this, I'll just leave off with a quote from the Lorax. Unless someone like you cares a whole lot, things are not going to get better. They're not. So if you want to see this beautiful country we have get better, if you want to see the quality of life start to increase, and if you want a better life for future generations, get involved. If you're watching this and you're a university student, come join us at Generation Screwed. We'll be happy to have you, and we'll be happy to teach you how to fight back before it's too late.
And if you want to get involved in any other way, head on over to taxpayer.com, sign some petitions, check out the articles, get yourself knowledgeable up so you can give your friends the facts the next time you go out for beers, or sign those petitions to join the taxpayer army, and we'll let you know when there's the next time that you can take action. Liam, Carson, thanks for joining me today.
Take care, gentlemen.
Have a great day.